Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Vav. The last thing we were discussing on daf Mem Hey was that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't allow moving any menorah. A menorah, even a small one, he does not allow to move, and therefore the majority of today's daf is going to discuss the concept of muktzah as it relates to candles and menorahs, candelabras. In this context, we also mentioned a lot of the details of Rabbi Shimon's approach to muktzah, which was really a major discussion on yesterday's daf. What exactly, we know Rabbi Shimon has a very limited view of muktzah, but what exactly is and is not included in Rabbi Shimon's view of muktzah? So just to quickly go over the bottom of Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, so the Gemara told us that when Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef came, he said in the name of, we were trying to figure out, does Rabbi Yochanan hold like Rabbi Yehuda's view of muktzah, which is a very expanded version of muktzah, or Rabbi Shimon's view of muktzah, which is a very limited version of muktzah? So the Gemara had said that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shua ben Levi holds that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says that apparently, in spite of any proof we have to the contrary, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef had this tradition that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara had asked, Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, do you not hold that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? After all, there was a story that happened of Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Asi that went to Rabbi Abba de Menchaifa, and a menorah fell on Rav Asi's jacket, and he wasn't metaltal it. He wouldn't pick it up and remove it. Isn't it because Rav Asi was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he held that the menorah is muksa? So don't you see clearly that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda in a very expanded definition of muksa? So he said back to him, we'll pick it up four lines before the lines get wide, on Memheim Beis, Amalei Menarta Kamrit, you're bringing me a raya from a case of a menorah, Menarta Shiny. A menorah is a different case, because Rav Acha Bar Chanina told us in the name of Rav Asi that Reish Lakish was Mora. Reish Lakish had a Hora'a in Sidon that if you have a menorah that you can move with one hand, so that you're allowed to move. That's Mutal Taltal. But if it's only movable, if it's so large, you can only move it with two hands, so then it's Asa to be Metaltal, such a menorah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, but Rabbi Yochanan said, Anu ein lanu el biner k'Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's no heter by tiltal neros except for an old ner that Rabbi Shimon is matir. Rabbi Shimon holds a ner yashin, you're allowed to move an old ner aval menorah. But when you're dealing with a menorah, bein nitzal biyado achas, bein nitzal b'shtei yadav, asul l'taltala. That whether you could move it with one hand, with two hands, doesn't make a difference. Either way, it's going to be usr to be metaltal menorah. Why? What's so bad? Why is a menorah? And therefore, the point is, the Gemara is trying to say, had it not been for Rabbi Yitzchak, we would not have known this. But now that we know that that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda by everything except for muksa machmas miyus of a ner yashan, meaning, generally speaking, he'll hold like Rabbi Yochanan, will hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Like we said, like Rabbi Yitzchak taught us, that he holds the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Dafka by a ner, he's going to hold like Rabbi Shimon. That muktzah machmas mius, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Where he holds that it's mutter. But a menorah is also to be metaltel. Why? The time of my, why is it that a menorah is also to be metaltel? Rabbi Rav Yosef Damar Tavayu, Ho'el Va'adam Koveel Lamakom. Because typically a person designates a place for the menorah. So again, the Gemara tries to figure out why we treat menorah so strictly, even more strict than a ner. So the Gemara is going to have two approaches. This is the first approach. A person designates a place for it and never intends to move it. When you put a menorah down, you plan on leaving it there for a very long time. The Gemara is going to reject this idea, but that's the idea. So says the Gemara, Amalei Abai L'Rav Yosef, is that really true? Anything that you never intend to move is going to be muktza, and you're not going to be allowed to move it. What about Akilas Chasanim? That a person's Koveya is a place for Akilas Chasanim. Akilas Chasanim, Mutul in the Tosum, Mutul in the Farka B'Shabbos. And yet we see that you're allowed to put one up and take one down on Shabbos, even though it's something that typically possibly you leave there for a long period of time. It's kaveila makom. Now, anyway, kilos chasadim sounds like we're talking about a chuppah, right? A wedding canopy. Anyway, shouldn't that be a problem to put up on Shabbos? Forget about the halachas of mukta. What about binyan? You're making an ohel on Shabbos. So Rashi points out on the top, mutl and tosa, the stam kilos chasadim ein la gag tefach. Typically, a kilos chasanim does not have a gag that's a tefach. Shenaklitin yotzin l'shnei rashi amita be'emtza'a. We're not talking about over here a chuppah. We're talking about the covering of the canopy over a bed. That there are two posts on each end of the bed, and echad lekan vechad lekan v'nosin klinsos mizel azeh umashlicha oel aleha. And you have a pole running from the pole at the the posts at the head of the bed and at the foot of the bed are like poles, and you have a pole running that connects the two across the top of the bed that connects the two poles at the end, and then they put a cloth over it, so it comes like a triangle shape. So there's not actually a tefach of width at the top, and therefore that's not an ohel. It's not an issue of ohel. What is it an issue of? It's purely an issue of mukta. Do you say that you're koveya makom for it, and therefore it's not going to move? So we say no. Even though you're koveya makom, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. So how can you tell me by a menorah, just because you're koveya lamakom, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos? So Abaye gives a different approach as to why it is that a menorah is more problematic than other items. Ella amar Abaye bishel chulios. We're talking about a menorah that's made up of different pieces, and you put it together. You assemble and disassemble the menorah. So assembling such a menorah would be a violation of makah bepatish, because you're finishing off a kli. You're taking a kli that was a bunch of pieces that were unusable on their own, you're putting them together and you're making a kli out of them. So that would be a violation of makah bepatish. So yeah, and that's why you're not allowed to move this menorah, because we're afraid that it's going to it's going to fall apart and you're going to come to put it back together again. That's a great reason for it to be aser. Why does Rabbi Shimon Lakish then hold that it's mutter? If we're talking about something that could fall apart and you'll easily put it back together again, it's going to be makah bepatish, who would say that's okay? Why would Rish Lakish say that's okay? So my chulios ke'en chulios, this bechidki. So we're saying, no, it's not actually a menorah that could be taken apart into many different pieces. It's something that's ke'en chulios. It has cracks along the different parts of it that look like it could be taken apart, but really it's one solid piece. It's just that visually, if you look at it, you wouldn't know that it's one solid piece. You would think it's something that could be taken apart. Hilka chulios, therefore, if it's actually made of many different components, ben gadola ben katana asur l'taltala. Whether it's a large menorah or a small menorah, it would definitely be asur to be metaltal such a menorah, because again, the concern is it will fall apart, you pull it back together again. Gadola nami di ispa chidki, if you have a large menorah that looks like, but isn't really, looks like it's made up of different parts, then it's going to be usher to be metaltal even such a menorah as a gezeira atu a gedola d'chulios. A gezeira lest you come to handle a large menorah that's actually made of different parts. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas between Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan is biktana. What if you have a small menorah, di ispachidki, that has these cracks that look like it's made up of different parts, but it's not actually made up of different parts? So mar savar gazrinan, one opinion holds that we're going to be gozer, mar savar lo gazrinan, meaning Rabbi Yochanan holds we're going to be gozer, it's going to be usher to be metaltal such a menorah, Rish Lakish holds it's going to be mutter to be metaltal such a menorah. Why would it make a difference if it's a large menorah or a small menorah? If you're going to make a gezerah that when it looks like it's made of different parts, that you shouldn't be metaltalit, why should it matter if it's large or small? So Rashi explains, Gedola hol vidarka lasos shel chulios, ki yispachidki savri dechulios hein, va'asra afil l'reish lakish. When you're dealing with a large menorah, it's normal for large menorahs to be made up of a lot of different parts. So if you have a large menorah that looks like it's made up of different parts, people will easily get confused and think that that's what you're being metaltal. But a small menorah typically is not made of different parts. So even though it looks like it, no one's going to think that it's actually made up of different parts, and therefore Reish Lakish is more makel when dealing with the smaller menorah. Tosfos just points out that there is a Gemara in the second paragraph of Maseches Beitza that tells us that there are three things that Rav Gamliel is machmir like Shitas Beis Shammai, and one of the things that he's machmir like Shitas Beis Shammai is Ein Zokfin as a menorah, that you're not allowed to lift up or stand up a menorah. And so the clear implication is that Beis Hillel holds you are allowed to stand up a menorah, and the Gemara over there explains very clearly that we're talking about a menorah shel chulios, and the reason that Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to do it is because it's an isser of binyan bekelim, that when you put the menorah together, made up of different parts, it's an isser of binyan on kelim. And Beis Hillel holds there's no isser of binyan on kelim. But isn't that whole Gemara stira to our Gemara? Our Gemara's whole discussion is maybe even if it looks like it's made up of different parts, it would be a problem. And over there we're saying even if it's actually made up of different parts, it's not a problem, that you're allowed to be metaltel. So what's going on? How do we reconcile the two Gemaras? So Tosfos points out at the very end, "V'tiritzri the hasam arigon shachulius mechubar niachad ve'enin misparkin upam matanosan upam zokvanosan." Over there, it's talking about chulios that are mechubar niachad. There are different parts, but once they're connected, they're connected. They don't really come apart again. Over here, we're talking about one that you can easily disassemble and reassemble. You have to make some sort of ukimta to make the two Gemaras work with each other. Okay, says the our Gemara Vayter now, about 7 lines into the page, Mem Vav Amar Aleph, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, wait a second, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold like Rabbi Yehuda in regards to Muktzah? Does he really have the, does he really machmir in issues relating to Muktzah? Vaham Rabbi Yochanan Alacha K'stam Mishnah, but don't we know Rabbi Yochanan holds that Alacha is generally like a Stam Mishnah, Utna, and then we had a Stam Mishnah that we just quoted a couple of days ago, Muchni Shalab Isman Shi Nishmetas, we have a wagon with a wheel that can easily be removed. Ein chiburla. So we had 4 halachos about the wagon with the wheel that can easily be removed, the last of which is nogeya to us. Halacha number one, ein chiburla, that it's not considered to be one unit together with the wagon in regards to tumah. If the wheel becomes tameh, doesn't mean the wagon's tameh. If the wagon becomes tameh, doesn't necessarily make the wheel tameh. Ve'ein nimdedesima, when figuring out whether it's metaltal mali v'rekan, whether it could be machzik memsa, if the wagon is too large to be considered a kli, to be makabel tumah, we don't measure the wheel along with the wagon. It's considered a separate piece. Ve'in matzelas ima ba'ol ames. The wagon and the wheel are not matzil together with for ol ames, meaning the wheel will not protect for ol ames those items that stick out above the wheel from the inside of the wagon. And finally, ve'in goren osa b'shabbos b'zman sheyesh lo amos. You're not allowed to drag the wheel when there is money on it. So but the implication of that last line is that if there's no money on it right now, even though there was money on it the entire Ben HaShmashos, it does not become Muktzah. And that's a Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan is supposed to paskin like Stam Mishnayos. So who's that Mishnah going like? Is that a Rabbi Yehuda Mishnah or a Rabbi Shimon Mishnah? Clearly the Mishnah seems to be making the assumption that even though something was Muktzah Ben HaShmashos, it does not become Muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. And we just learned yesterday, we discussed that at length yesterday, that Rabbi Yehuda holds Migo Diskatzay the Ben HaShemashos, Skatzai L'Kuliyoma. Rabbi Shimon holds, no, not Migo Din Skatzai L'Ben HaShemashos, Skatzai L'Kuliyoma. So this Mishnah is clearly going like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan's got a paskin like a Stam Mishnah. So don't you see Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Shimon? How could you tell me Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda? It's a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Zeira, Tei Mishnah Seinu, Shalom Hayu Alei Ma'os, what you have to say is that our diuk in that Mishnah is wrong. That we're not, the diuk to make is not, oh, even if there was money on it, the entire Ben HaShemashos, it would still not be Muktzah. No, the point is, if there was money on it at some point during Ben HaShemashos, it may not be Muktzah, but if there was money on it through the entire Ben HaShemashos, it would be Muktzah, because Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and he therefore has to align that Stam Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda and not with Rabbi Shimon. Period. Amr Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Pamachas halach Rabbi l'diusfera. One time Rabbi went to diusfera. Vahora b'menorah Rabbi Shimon b'ner. And that's a very vague statement. He was hora, he paskined by menorah like Rabbi Shimon b'ner. So what does that mean exactly? Ibayilhu. The Gemara says, I don't know what that means. Harbi menorah k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner lehetera? Does that mean he passed by menorah like Rabbi Shimon b'ner lehetera, that he was mekil? Al dilma harbi menorah li'isura u'k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner lehetera? Or does it mean harbi menorah, he passed le'isur, by a menorah, you're not allowed to be metatal the menorah. And also, Rabbi Shimon Miner. When you're dealing with a Ner, he passed like Rabbi Shimon, that it's mutter. So what's the first, so the second side, we understand what it means. The second side of the Shaila is that he was Machmir Menorah, Mekel on Ner. What was the first side of the Shaila? Horabim Norah, Rabbi Shimon, Biner Lehetera. What does that mean? That he was Mekel on both Menorah and Ner, or that he didn't paskin about Ner, that he held by Menorah what Rabbi Shimon holds by Ner, but he's not talking about Ner, he's only talking about Menorah. Which does it mean? So the way Rashi understands it is Ibayilu Chada Horah Havai. Was it only one Horah? Va'achi Kamar Horah b'Menorah le'Teira. Kiderech Shai Rabbi Shimon Matir Biner, that he was Biner Yashan, that he was willing to be Makel on a menorah, the same way Rabbi Shimon was Makel on a Ner Yashan. But Rabbi Yochanan himself wasn't commenting on a Ner Yashan. He was just commenting about menorah. You know what Rabbi Shimon holds about Ner Yashan? That's what I hold about menorah. That's how Rashi understands the first tzad. Tosfos does not understand it that way. Tosfos understands that the first tzad is that Hora b'menorah k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner, he holds by menorah that it's mutter, just like he holds like Rabbi Shimon by a ner that it's mutter, meaning that he would hold both are mutter. That's how Tosfos understands the first side. Again, the second side of the shaila of what he might have meant is very clear, that he was machmir by menorah, mekel by ner. The first side of the question is, does that mean he was mekel by both menorah and ner? That's the way Tosfos understands it. Or he was just mekel by menorah, never commented by ner? That's the way Rashi understands it. Tosfos says, if you understand like me, Tosfos, he doesn't tell you how he understands it, he just works off a basic assumption that it's got to be that he's saying that everything is mutter. He says, I don't understand why can't we say why the Gemara didn't say that Hora b'Menorah k'Rabbi Shimon b'Ner as a possibility that he was Mekel only by Menorah and not by Ner. That Rabbi Yochanan is just paskening by Menorah like Rabbi Shimon says by Ner. You have such a Lashon in other Gemaras. In Perek Eilu Trefus and Maseches Chulin, the Gemara has a Lashon Horu b'Tarpachas k'Rebbi b'Zefek, which means the Gemara suggests as a possibility Horu b'Tarpachas la'Teira k'Rebbi b'Zefek u'k'Rebbi b'Zefek l'Sirilu, meaning that he's going to pasken in case A like the other guy paskens in case B, but he doesn't agree with the other guy's psak in case B. He's just giving you his psak in case A as being the same as the other guy's psak in case B. So why doesn't the Gemara raise that as a possibility over here? Again, according to Rashi, the Gemara does raise that as a possibility. That's exactly the Gemara's first possibility. But Tosfos takes it as a davar pashut that that's not what the Gemara is saying, and he asks why not. So Tosfos points out that the reason it can't be saying that he paskins in menorah what Rabbi Shimon paskins in Ner, but he doesn't hold of Rabbi Shimon's psak by Ner, the reason it can't be saying that is there's no reason to link the psak of menorah to the psak of Ner. Because what did we just discuss? Why is it that one would be machmir by menorah? What violation might there be in moving a menorah? It's not a muktzah problem. The issue is not one of muktzah. The issue is one of makabipatish. It's some malacha. Whereas ner, the whole issue is muktzah. So why would you even link the two? If you want to tell me that I paskin lehetera, why would you say I paskin lehetera the way Rabbi Shimon paskins by ner lehetera? That's a totally different psak. It's like saying, you know, I'm going to paskin by menorah just come up with some psak in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim. What does that got to do with Hilchos Yom HaKippurim? Just giving me a different psak from out of left field. So it can't be that the two would be linked with each other, Tosfos says. And that's why Tosfos rejects Rashi's interpretation. Okay, so says Gemara, which way, what did he mean over here? What did Rabbi Shimon ben Levi mean? So take, the Gemara doesn't know. We're not sure what he meant. Period. Ramalkia ikla lebe Rabbi Simlai v'tiltel shagar. Ramalkia went to Rabbi Simlai's house, and he moved around an extinguished ner. V'ikvid Rabbi Simlai. Rabbi Simlai got upset that he was metaltel in ner, meaning he did like Rabbi Shimon. He held that you're allowed to move an extinguished ner, and Rabbi Simlai was not happy about it. Rabbi Yossi Galilah ikla la'asrid Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Galilah went to the place of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, tiltel shagar, And again, he moved a ner that was extinguished. Ve'ikbid Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina was not happy about it. Rabbi Avahu had an interesting practice. Ki ikla la'asrid Rabbi Shul ben Levi have metaltal shaga. When Rabbi Avahu visited Rabbi Shul ben Levi, he would move a ner. Ki ikla la'asrid Rabbi Yochanan lo have metaltal shaga. But when he went to Rabbi Yochanan's place, he would not move a ner. So frankly, Gemara, what is he paskin? Man of shach ik Rabbi Yehuda svirle love Rabbi Yehuda. If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, let him be machmir like Rabbi Yehuda and never be metaltal in air. Ik Rabbi Shimon svirle love Rabbi Shimon. And if he holds like Rabbi Shimon that it's mutter, so let him always do like Rabbi Shimon and always be metaltal in air. Why would he dafka not be metaltal in air? So when he went to visit Rabbi Yochanan, so says well liolam Rabbi Shimon svirle. Really, he held Rabbi Avahu held like Rabbi Shimon that you're allowed to be metaltal in air once it's extinguished. Umishum kvodud Rabbi Yochanan hu de lo avid. But for the covet of Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't want to paskin that way in front of Rabbi Yochanan, so he refrained from doing so in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rashi, why didn't the Gemara say the opposite? Why didn't the Gemara say that really he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's asir? But when he went to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, he wanted to conform with Rabbi Shua ben Levi's practice, and he was metal to the ner. So Rashi said no, because if he held it was asir, he would not have done it even for the covet of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. He would not have done it in front of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. You wouldn't do that by a davar asir. So some of the Akronim point out, this is a somewhat difficult because we do have a story in Maseches Pesachim, Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, that Rav Ashi went to Machuza and he wasn't sure what the practice was in Machuza, but Rav Ashi's personal practice was that they didn't make a special bracha of Kiddush on Shabbos day like we do. All they did was a Bar Priya Gafen like we do, with maybe a few Pesukim we add in, but really it's just the Kiddusha Rabbah is a Bar Priya Gafen. So his practice was not to make a special Kiddush on Shabbos day. And he went to Machuza and they said, oh, can you lead us in Kiddusha Rabbah? So he didn't know what they do. He didn't know what their practice was. So he took a coast and he said an elongated Bari Priya Gafen, and he wanted to see what would happen, what the reaction would be as he's finishing up the Bari Priya Gafen, to see if people were waiting for more. And if they were waiting for more, he would have said another bracha. But he saw as he was finishing up the Bari Priya Gafen, one old man at the end of the table is bending down to drink. So he realized, that's the Kiddusha Rabbah. It's just the Bari Priya Gafen. So the Shar Mitzvah Balacha points out over here, wait a second. Sounds like had that old man not bent down to drink, he was prepared to make another bracha, even though he held that you're not supposed to make another bracha. Aita bracha levatala. So even it's not just to be machmir. Apparently, you can conform to the minhag hamakom even when it's something that you hold as asur. This would be a bracha levatala for him because he held that there is no bracha. So he says that based on this, poskim have derived that you're allowed to, and based on that Gemara, poskim have derived you're allowed to make a bracha on halal. Let's say it's not your minhag to say halal on the night of Pesach, and you're in a shul that does. So you're allowed to make a bracha and you're allowed to make a bracha on the halal on the night of Pesach because you're allowed to conform to what their minhag is. So he says maybe it's not a kash because Birka Yosef and some Kuf Yud Zayin writes that when it comes to conforming to minhagim of tefillah and brachos, that we always conform. But when it comes to things of Isser Veheter, if you hold something's Asser, then you don't necessarily conform to a minhag hamakom. But when it comes to brachos and tefillah, so then you always go along with whatever the makom is doing in relation to brachos and to tefillah. One more ha'ar, the Maritz Chayis points out over here that we said before that hora, we had this lashon that Rabbi Shub and Levi told us that when Rebbe came to Diaspora, he was hora b'menorah k'rev shum b'nerah, and weren't sure whether that meant that he was makel by menorah or machmir by menorah. Just a note, there is a Gemara, Mesachas Ksuvos, where the Gemara has a lashon of hora Isser, to say that something's asr, that someone was mora, that bia b'tchila b'shabbos is asr, and the Gemara has an expression, k'subas dav zayin, I think it is dav vav, around there, where the Gemara says, umi ika hora'a l'isser? Do you ever have the term hora'a to connote an isser? Hora'a is always for a heter, because hora'a implies that it took some chachma, that it took some shtaltz to actually say something. To be machmir doesn't take anything. Anyone could be machmir if you don't know what to do. Be machmir. It's always easy to be machmir. So whenever you have hora'a, hora'a always implies leheter, that you have the ability to give a psak leheter. So it's a little bit difficult. Maritz Chayis points out over here that the Gemara is going to say, we're not sure what he meant by hora b'menorah. Did he mean le'isr or leheter? Pashtus is, if it was hora, it meant leheter, not le'isr. But what you do see from that Gemara and Ksuv is that there are exceptions, because we did have the expression over there in regards to an Isser. So even though in general the Gemara was surprised that we would have such a Lashon, Mika Ral Isser, every once in a while you will have such a Lashon. And when will you have such a Lashon by an Isser? If what we would have naturally assumed is that something is Mutter, then it's a Hora'a to say that it's Asr, because then it does take some confidence and it does take some strength to be Machmir, if naturally we would assume something is Asir. Some of the Achronim, I think the Nadav Yehuda and Tzlach points out that maybe Hora'a L'Isser is only, it depends whether you're dealing with an issue Drabanan or Da'oraisa. So if it's an issue Drabanan, so Safek Drabanan would have been Lakula, so then you would say a Hora'a L'Isser. But if you're dealing with a Din Da'oraisa, where Safek Da'oraisa is L'Chumra, then you would have a Hora'a L'Kula. So maybe that would fit over here. The Hora'a might be L'Isser because we're dealing with a Din Drabanan over here, we're not dealing with a Din Da'oraisa. It's all based on what the Hora'a is based on what you would have assumed had someone not come along and given the psak. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara. Now, first wide line, Mem Vav Amid Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda, Shagar de Mashcha, Sharila Tatula. You're allowed to be Metalta Rav Yehuda the Amora, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. Rav Yehuda the Amora, who holds like Rabbi Shimon, that you're allowed to move a Ner, holds like Rabbi Shimon the Tana, that you're allowed to move an extinguished Ner, says, yeah, that's a Ner that has regular oil. But if it has Nafta, bad smelling fuel that fuels the candle, then it's so disgusting, it's muk to machmas mius, it's so disgusting you're not allowed to be metaltal it. Rabba of Rav Yosef Tamar Tavayu, the Nafta Nami Shreya Tutula. So Rabba and Rav Yosef both say that even in Nafta, Rabbi Shimon would hold you allowed to be metaltal. I mean, the question is, how far does Rabbi Shimon go in allowing you to be metaltal in there? Granted, he lets you be metaltal in there that's extinguished and he's not worried about muk to machmas mius, he's not worried about anything else, but what if it's really disgusting? Will he then hold of muk to machmas mius? So this is the Machloka Samurayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's really disgusting, even Rabbi Shimon would say it's Asr. Rabbi Yosef say, no, it doesn't matter how disgusting it is. Rav Avya Ikla Lebe Rava. Rav Avya once went to visit Rava. Havam Isan Beikare Betina. His feet, his shoes were full of dirt, were full of mud. Asive Apuria Kame de Rava. So he walks into Rava's house, puts his muddy shoes right up on the white couch, the white linen couch or something. Just puts it right up on the bed. Ikvid Rava. So Rava got very upset. What are you putting your muddy shoes on the bed of my house? So Balatsure. So Rava wanted to bother him. Rava wanted to cause him a little bit of anguish for doing that. So he decided he was going to ask him a shayla that he would never be able to answer and give him a little bit of tsar, give him a taste of humble pie. So Amalei, my time of Rava Rav Yosef Zamar Zavari, Shagar Denaf, Denami Shayla Tutule. So he says, can you explain Rava and Rav Yosef Shita why it is that if you have a candle that was fueled with nafta, that it would be mutter to be metaltel, that even Rabbi Shimon would hold even that's mutter to be metaltel? Can you explain that? Samalei, hold the chazil chsuy b'mana. He says, yeah, I could explain it, because it could still be used as a kli. You can still use it to cover another kli. Granted, you can't put anything in it because it's gross, but you could use it as a cover of another kli. So he says, yeah, if that's the explanation, el meata kol tzoro shabachatzim metaltel, hold the chazil chsuy b'mana. So then you say every rock, every pebble should not be mukta, because you could always use it to cover a kli. Meaning, if that's enough to make something not mukta, the ability to use it to cover something, a rock shouldn't be mukta. And obviously, a rock is mukta, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So Amalei, ha'ika toras kli alei, hani leka toras kli alei. He says, no, when you're dealing with the ner of nafta, it was a kli, elamai, it's disgusting. So since it was a kli, and it still has some function that you could use it to cover another kli, the combination of those two factors make it not mukta. But a rock was never a kli in the first place. All it has is that you're able to use it to cover another kli. So therefore, the rock is still going to be mukta. Milo tani, after all, don't we have a braisa? Hashirim vanizamim vatabos harehein kekala kelim. You have bracelets and rings, all these different types of jewelry. They're like any kelim hanitalim b'chatzer that could be moved in the chatzer. Says Rashi. Even though we're going to see a little bit later on in this Masechta that you're not allowed to walk with these things out into Rosh Hashanah, the reason you're not allowed to walk outside in Rosh Hashanah with them is we're afraid that a woman is going to take them off to show them off to her friends. So she's going to end up carrying them in the Rosh Hashanah. But they're still considered to be a kli, and therefore you're allowed to be metalted them, you're allowed to move them, shaloka derech malbush, even when not wearing them. It's not an iser tiltal. It's only an iser that we're afraid that you're going to take them out. Va'omar ula, matam, hol vika toros kli aleha. Why is it that you're allowed to be metaltal these things? Because they're considered a kli. Hachanami, hol vika toros kli aleha. So we hear also, these items are, this ner of nafta is considered a kli, and the fact that it's a kli, combined with the fact that it has some function, doesn't have to be a massive function, some function that you're able to use it as a cover for another kli, that's enough to take it out of the category of muktzah. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Brich Rachmana de Luxife Rava L'Ravavia. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be blessed that he didn't allow Rava to embarrass Ravavia. That Ravavia was able to avoid the embarrassment. Rava was trying to embarrass him by asking him this question that he wouldn't know the answer. But look at that, how he knew the answer and he was able to avoid the embarrassment. So this whole story is a little bit, I mean, the Shaila, the back and forth makes a lot of sense, but the whole story is a little bit strange. That he, first of all, such a lack of derech eretz, that he comes and he puts his muddy shoes on the couch, and so why? And Rava is going to, Dafka, be vindictive about it, and he's gonna annoy him, he's going to bother him. So this is also discussed in the Chavos Yari, Simen Kufnun Beis. We've mentioned many times that Chavos Yari and Simen Kufnun Beis has a long tshuva about why it is that Amoroyim were so mean to each other, that they would insult each other all the time, they would say, you know, that this guy is like he's like someone who never learned Torah in his life, he's saying such stupid things. They would say all these terrible insults to each other. Why is it that they were so mean to each other? And the Chavos Yair tries to develop the thesis that they were never mean to each other, and that really they were really saying compliments. They were really saying all sorts of nice things, and you just have to read between the lines to figure out how what sounds like things that are very mean are really compliments. So the Sharm Tzion Ba'alacha explains that maybe what's going on over here is as follows. There's a Gemara Maseches Pesachim Pei Vav and Beis that Rav Huna once went to visit Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and they said Neisva Puria. They said, why don't you sit down on the nice big couch? V'yasef, and he sat down on the nice big couch. So the Gemara says they asked him afterwards, why did you accept when we told you to sit down? You know, that's what you're supposed to tell people who come, but the people themselves are supposed to say, no, I'm not going to sit on the nice couch, just give me a folding chair. You know, I don't need I don't want to sit on that. You're not supposed to take the cover. Rashi says, a mita leishivala is a makam lechashuvin. So when they offer you something that's an inyan of chashivas, you're supposed to be mesarev. So over here, what happened? Rav Avia comes in, sits on the mita, and puts his muddy feet on the mita, and so he doesn't explain why Rav Avia did this, but he says he was acting like he deserved all the kavod in the world, that he walked in like he owns the place. And that bothered Rava to the extent that Rava thought it's going to be very bad for Avavia's reputation. Everyone, it's a davar matmiya. Everyone's going to say that. Look what kind of arrogance he has, and what kind of how he holds himself so high. So Rava wanted to do something to humble him a little bit, so that he won't act the godless in this way. He won't act like he's the gadol adar wherever he goes. So he says that's what. So Rava was trying to do it for his own benefit, so as not to tarnish his reputation. He was trying to bring him back down to earth a little bit, and he says maybe that was the kavana letova that he had in trying to humble him. Didn't work. He knew the answer. Maybe he was deserving of all that cover. Okay, so the Gemara goes on now on the Memvav and Beis, about 5-6 lines in. Rami le Abayi le Rabba. Abayi has the following stira to Rabba. Tanya, we have a brayso. Most Hashem shabin never shabakara. Aser Rabbi Shimon Matir. What about leftover oil after the candle is extinguished? If you have a little leftover oil, are you allowed to use that oil? So the brayso says Tanakama holds its aser. Rabbi Shimon holds its mutter. That it's not a problem of muktza to use that oil. Alma le Rabbi Shimon lasle muktza. So we see clearly Rabbi Shimon does not hold, this is not part of Rabbi Shimon's definition of muktza. Meaning very clearly Rabbi Shimon has a very limited version of muktza. This is not part of his definition of muktza. Ayur minhu, but I'll ask you a stira. Rabbi Shimon omer, kol she'ein mumo nikar me'erev yom tov ein zemen amuchan. Rabbi Shimon holds, if you have a b'chor behema tahara, the halacha is the firstborn of a kosher animal, you're not allowed to use for yourself. You have to give it to the kohen. You're not allowed to use it at all for yourself, unless it develops a mum. If it's so let's say you have Bukhar Be'emet Torah from Erev Yom Tov, and then it develops a mum on Yom Tov. So we say, no, it's Muktzah, because before Yom Tov you had no plans whatsoever of being able to use it, because they didn't have a mum before Yom Tov. It's not considered to be Min HaMuchan. Meaning, what do you see? The Rabbi Shimon holds Muktzah, that since when Yom Tov started, you were not planning on having the ability to use it, so it's considered Muktzah. We should say the same thing about the Shemen inside a Ner. You had a lit Ner when Yom Tov started, you're not allowed to extinguish the Ner, so you were planning on all that oil burning in the Ner, you were planning on not being able to use it throughout the course of Yom Tov, throughout the course of Shabbos, and so it should be Muktzah. So why does Rabbi Shimon hold by the oil in the Ner it's not Muktzah, and by the Bechor Behema that it is Muktzah? So it says Mar Hachi Hashta. You can't compare the two cases. Hasam Adam Yoshev Mitzapa Emesaitcha Benero. When a person has a ner that's lit, he knows that it never burns 100% of the oil. He knows that there's always going to be a little oil left. So he's waiting and he's planning on being able to use whatever little oil is left. Hacha Adam Yoshev Mitzapa Masa Yipul Bamum. But you think by a Bechor Behema, you think a guy is sitting there waiting, when is a mum going to develop in the Bechor? Nah, Meimar Amar, the guy's going to say, Mi Emer Denafel Beimuma. First of all, I don't even know if a mum is going to develop at all. Vim Tim Tzilamer Denafel Beimuma, Mi Emer Denafel Beimum Kavua. And even if a mum does develop, I don't know that it's going to be a mum Kavua. It may be a mum that doesn't qualify as a valid mum to be Matir the Bechor. Vimtim said to be matir b'chor requires great expertise, and that's the Gemara's third suffix. Vimtim tzlav enough mum kavua miyemer demizdakik lechacham. Who says even if it does have a mum kavua? Who says I'm be able to find a chacham who knows how to paskin what's a mum kavua? Can't just go to any rabbi to paskin what's a mum kavua. He needs to be someone who had training and expertise in what's considered a mum kavua or not. In the Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin, when the Gemara discusses the concept of heter hora'a, of giving someone what we call smicha, it's not what the Gemara calls smicha. So the Gemara calls heter ara, the ability to paskin halachos. So the Gemara has various categories of heter ara. Yora, can he be yora? Can he paskin halachos of isav heter? Yora, he can paskin halachos of isav heter. Yadin, can he be dan din imamunus? Yadin, he can dan din imamunus. Those are two categories. Then the Gemara has a third category. Yatir b'choros? Third category is, can he be matir b'choros? Yeah, yatir b'choros. And the Gemara tells us that Amoraim spent a year on a farm just to figure out what had to be matir b'chor and how not to be matir b'chor. Tanoim, what's a mum kavua? What's not a mum kavua? You have to know the metzias. It's not so pashut to find a chacham. So the guy's never going to assume. You have this with Hilchos Treifos also. There are a lot of areas of halacha that you really need to know the metzias. You really need to know the expertise. Rabbi Bell used to, I heard Rabbi Belsky speak once. He said, if you want to paskin Hilchos Treifos, you got to spend a year in a butcher shop and get yelled at by everyone working there, and, then really become part of the environment to really understand what's going on, to know what every piece of meat is supposed to look like, to know everything. If you want to be able to give hashkacha on any of these things, you have to really know. You have to know the score a little bit. So matir b'choros. Who says you're going to find the Talmud Chacham that knows how to be matir b'choros? Not a pashut thing to be matir. Tosos points out over here that when we say that Rabbi Shimon holds Kol Shein Mumu Nikum Be'er of Yom Tov Ein Zem in Amuchan, Tosos raises the question, Kasha L'ri, Mai Kaparach, Al Karach, Times Rabbi Shimon Lav Mishum Muktza, El Mishum Tosav De'ein Ro'en Mumu Be'er of Yom Tov. He says, no, wait a second. The reason for Rabbi Shimon is not because of Muktza. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the issue of Muktza. The reason Rabbi Shimon holds that the animal is no good is because he holds you're not allowed to paskin on Mumu on Yom Tov. He says it's got nothing to do with Muktza over here. So how does the Gemara ask this as the stira? This is not a shaila relating to Muktza. The Rabbi Yehuda Dislei Tvei Muktza Shari Hasan Pereishen Sadin. And the raya that has nothing to do with Muktza is Rabbi Yehuda, who's more machmir on Muktza issues, would allow the animal, would allow the Bechor, would not say it's a problem. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds you're allowed to be Matar Bechoros on Yantif. He would hold you're allowed to paskin on such halachas on Yantif. That Bechor Shnafel Abar Yerid Mumcha V'Yirim Yesh B'mum Yala V'Yishchot Vim Lav Lo Yishchot. That if a Bechor falls into a bar, Rabbi Yehuda holds you could send the Chacham down in there to paskin on it. So he says, Yeshlomer didiyek mi delo katani Rabbi Shimon oser lefisha ein roin mum biyantov. Now, if Rabbi Shimon were only about paskining on Yantiv and not about Muktza, so Rabbi Shimon would not have said that eino min amuchan. What he would have said is oser, that you're not allowed to paskin. What if you did paskin? So you're not allowed to, but you did paskin. You paskin that it's mutter. So now, is it mutter? If it were not a muktza issue, then yeah, it would be mutter b'dievet if you did paskin. So it must be that there's a muktza issue here as well. Okay, vaytu in the Gemara, Masav Rami Bar Chama, Mafirin Nedarim B'Shabbos, V'Neshalim Nedarim Shein L'Tzorach HaShabbos. You're allowed to be Mefir and Neder, husband's allowed to be Mefir and Neder of his wife on Shabbos, and you could be Shoal on a Neder, that's L'Tzorach HaShabbos. But if you're going to say by Bechoros, that who knows, maybe you're not going to find the Chacham to be Mati the Bechor, and therefore it's Mutzah, you totally put it out of your mind. Whatever this woman has a Neder that she's not allowed to use, shouldn't we say that it's totally out of her mind before Shabbos? Because who says that her husband's going to want to be Mefer the Neder? Who says her husband will be around to be Mefer the Neder? So says Gemara, no, that's different. Whenever she takes a neder, it's always al das baila. She's always waiting for her husband to weigh in. It's al manas that the husband will want it, and therefore she's completely sumik on the husband. She does not put it out of her mind because she knows what she says isn't ultimately going to matter in regards to this neder. Every neder she takes ultimately is subject to the consent of her husband, and therefore it's not muktzah. It's not totally out of her mind. She always thinks of the possibility that her husband is going to keep this neder. Is going to uproot this neder. Tashima, let's bring another rayon. Neshalim nedarim shel tzorach haShabbos b'Shabbos. So forget about the husband case. What about the fact that we said that if there's a neder that you want to get rid of for tzorach haShabbos, you're allowed to get rid of it on Shabbos. How are you shol neder? You need to go to a chacham. Just like we said by the Bechor, who says you're ever going to find the chacham to paskin on this Bechor? Why don't we say the same thing by nedarim? Who says she's going to find the chacham to paskin that the neder's okay? So it says Gemara, no, hasam yilom mizdak lechacham, sagi lebegimel hadiotos. Big difference. When it comes to a neder, let's say you can't find the chacham. So what? You're up the creek, you have nothing to do? No, you have another Eitzah. You could have Gimel Adyotos. You could have three regular people. And three people you could always find. You're not always going to find a Chacham. It's a lot easier to find three idiots than it is to find one Chacham. Right? That's what the Gemara. So three people you're always going to be able to find. Chacham, Miyemer, Demizdakik Le'Chacham. But over here by Matur B'choros, who says you're going to be able to find a single Chacham? So the Achronim all point out, Maritzchis over here points out, that this is a little bit difficult because we see that three Hadyotos are always Shchiach. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Samuch Bezim and Bez, says that to make a ger, to have a bezin for a ger, you need three. And the Gemara says, Mi yemer demizak le'tlasa. Who says you're ever going to find three people to serve as a bezin for a ger? Now, for a bezin of a ger, you don't need three mumchin. They don't have to be three experts. And yet the Gemara has an expression over there that it's not so easy to find three people. But we're talking about three non-experts. And over here, the Gemara assumes that three non-experts are always available. So the Maritz Chiyah says what you have to say is that even though you don't need experts when it comes to Gerus, you do need Talmid Chamin. They don't need to be experts in Uchus Gerus, but they do need to be basic Talmid Chamin. That's not as common. Over here, for Nedarim, it could be Hedyotos. You could have, you want to be Mati Nedar, or Nerv Rosh Hashanah, whatever. You get three Bar Mitzvah boys. They don't have to be the world's biggest Talmid Chamin. You get anybody, people who could barely read the words of Ataras Nedarim. And that's fine. You have, that's all okay. Ramele Abayla Rav Yosef. Miyam Rav Shimon Kafsa Mutl Tatla Kafsa In Lo Kafsa Lo. So Abaye asks the Stirut Rav Yosef, does Rav Shimon really hold that only once a candle is extinguished you're allowed to be metaltel lit? My time, what would be the reason that you would not be allowed to be metaltel while it's actually still lit, according to Rav Shimon? The whole concern is Dilma Bahadi Tidnakat Kafsa. Now what are we afraid of? If you're carrying a lit candle on Shabbos, you may accidentally extinguish it. Well, according to Rav Shimon, that should be okay. Because after all, Hashamina Leila Rav Shimon Dam Davar Shein Miskavin Mutter. Rav Shimon also Davar Shein Miskavin is Mutter. So if you're going to accidentally extinguish it while you're carrying a lit ner, what's the problem? So Davar Shein Miskavin, Rabbi Shimon holds that's fine. Where do we see Rabbi Shimon holds Davar Shein Miskavin Mutter? Detanya, we have a brisa. Rabbi Shimon Amar Gor Radam Kisei Mita B'Safsol Ubavashli Miskavin Lasos Charetz. A person is allowed to drag a bench, a chair, all sorts of different things, a bed, as long as he doesn't intend to make a hole in the ground. He might actually make a hole in the ground, but it's Davar Shein Miskavin. Rabbi Shimon holds that's Mutter. So what's the problem over here? Why would it be that Rabbi Shimon holds you're not allowed to carry a lit ner with the whole concern is that it might become extinguished? It's Davar Shein Miskavin. The Gemara has two answers. Answer number one: Kol Eichad Dechi Mechavin Iki Yisur Daraisa Ki Lo Mechavin Gaz Rabbi Shimon Midrabanan. Any time that if you were to have Kavana to do this action, it would involve an Isur Daraisa, then Rabbi Shimon would say even on an Eino Miskavin would be Asur Midrabanan. The Tosfos points out: wait a second, over here there's an Isur Daraisa if you're Mechavin to extinguish an air. No, it's only if you, because it's malach shein tzricha legufa, so just stop extinguishing her because you don't want the fire anymore. So no, you have to say that you're extinguishing because you want to make a charred wick that makes it more lightable in the future, where it's not a malach shein tzricha legufa. Okay, so let's assume it's nisa d'arais over here. Had you been mechavin, so then Rabbi Shimon is going to say it's also midrabanan when you don't have kavana. Kol heicha d'chi mechavin iki yisru d'rabanan, ki lo mechavin shar Rabbi Shimon l'chachila. But whenever having kavana would only involve a nisa d'rabanan, then Rabbi Shimon would say, even the chachila you're allowed to do with the enam eskavin. Says the Gemara, is that true? Masav Rava, mochri ksus, mochri kadakum, vachal eskavin, becham bnei acham, b'ksham bnei acham, matzlum, mafshilim, b'makal acharayan. V'ahacha d'chi mechavin, yisur d'araisi ika, ki lo mechavin, shari Rabbi Shimon l'chachila. What's the classic case where Rabbi Shimon says, dover shein eskavin? When you're selling clothing and you're wearing shatnas on your back in, as a way of transporting the clothing from place to place. What's shatnas? It's nisadar raisa. And yet Rabbi Shimon still says that when it's enam eskavin, it's going to be mutter. So how can we possibly say that whenever there's a risk of a nisadar raisa, Rabbi Shimon's going to hold that the davar she'enam eskavin is going to be usher. So the mitzvah essence points out that it's difficult because in Rashi Nivamas by Harchakam Yisr is Mechali between Yisr Kares and Yisr Lav. Why doesn't the Gemara just answer? Yeah, Rabbi Shimon's Mekel by Shatnas, because Shatnas is a Lav. But by Shabbos related issues, he's not going to be Mekel, because Shabbos related issues, you're playing with Skila. Why don't you just Mechali between the different levels of Onesh? So the Mitzvah Mitzapa Eisen points out that no, because on Shabbos, we're always going to be more likely to be Mekel on the Davar Shein Meskavin, because by Shabbos, we have a concept called Melechas Machsheves. So we're always a little more likely to be Mekel on the Davar Shein Meskavin on Shabbos, even though Shabbos you're playing with this or Skila. Okay, Mitzvah, we'll do the second answer tomorrow at a time.